Shortly, before ascending to heaven, Jesus gave his apostles what we know is the Great Commission. He gave them this commission to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16, in Mark's account, verses 15 and 16. And in Matthew's account, in verses 19 through 20, he said it was to make disciples of all the nations. It was a mission taken seriously by the first century disciples. From the beginning, in the city of Jerusalem in Acts 2. Even when persecution forced them to flee that city in Acts chapter 8. We see that again in Acts 14 and in Acts 20. So, the message of the gospel spread throughout the world. Paul would write in Romans 10, verses 16 through 18, that they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Paul would also write in Colossians 1 and verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, are you not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. We freely acknowledge the broadening of the preaching in the New Testament era in the first century. What about today? What about us today? Are we proclaiming the gospel of Christ as we should? Do we share it with our friends, our neighbors, to those who are in our community as well as those in other places? If not, then maybe we should ask ourselves, are we ashamed of the gospel? When was the last time you personally shared the gospel with someone? Not just to discuss some religious subject, but actually talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is sharing the gospel no longer a priority for you today? You heard the gospel preached in a gospel meeting? Many churches no longer have gospel meetings per se. A friend of mine calls them microwave meetings because they're no longer 14 days, but maybe 2 or 3 days or a weekend meeting. And a lot of churches announce them as such, but then ask the preacher to edify those who are saved. Is evangelizing the lost no longer a priority for churches today? Might we be ashamed, ashamed of Jesus and his words? In Mark 8, in verse 38, Jesus says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed, when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus taught here that some might be ashamed of him and his words, maybe through influence by sinful and adulterous generation. Our generation is just the same. It has become increasingly sinful. And are we embarrassed to talk about Jesus? Or do we fear that we will appear foolish to others? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, Paul says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." He says in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 22 and 23, that the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Now, Paul admitted that the message of the cross was foolishness to a lot of people. Preaching Christ crucified can be a stumbling block and foolishness to a lot of people. Many people today consider religion something to be foolish. So does that make us ashamed to talk to them about Jesus? Who are we trying to please? Are we trying to please the people around us? or are we trying to please God? Paul would write in Galatians 1 and verse 10, "Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Paul here tells us that we are either pleasing men or God. If we are concerned with pleasing men, then we are not servants of Christ. If we are trying to please today our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, we're not pleasing to God. Now, why should some not confess Jesus? Why would they not confess Him? In John 12, verses 42 and 43, Jesus said, or we read here, according to John, that nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Even though they believed in Jesus, they wouldn't take a stand, because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, whose praise today do we seek? That of man or that of God? There may be other reasons why proclaiming the gospel is not a priority in the lives of many Christians today. But I suspect many are simply ashamed of what others may think. Let me offer a few reasons. Why we should not be ashamed of the gospel? First off, Paul says that there is power in that gospel. The gospel is the power of God. That's why Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel in Romans 1, verses 15 and 16. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Why he was ready to preach the gospel is what he's talking about, even to those in Rome who had already heard it. Secondly, because it contains an incorruptible seed. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you, through which one is born again." He talks about this incorruptible seed. "And it's the word of God," he says, "that lives and abides forever." The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 4 and verse 12, it's like the rest of the word of God. It is living and powerful. Also, the gospel is the power to salvation. That salvation is from our past sins. Paul would write in Romans 3 and 23, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." He writes in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation from our past sins, sins that all of us are guilty of which we stand in danger if we remain in those sins. But it's also salvation from the present storms that are in our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 7, in his Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Salvation from these present storms with words that when we obey them help us weather the storms of life. And with God's care, when it's received, will deliver us from evil. But also salvation from a future judgment. Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 10. He says it's a judgment that we're all going to face. He wrote in Romans 5 in verses 8 and 9, it says that this judgment without wrath for those in Christ. Other reasons not to be ashamed of the gospel is that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews 2 and verse 11. God is not ashamed to be our God. Hebrews 11 and verse 16. And we should not be ashamed at the Lord's coming. 1 John 2 and verse 28. There may be other reasons why many Christians don't share the gospel. It could be the cares of life, the riches of life, or the pleasures of life that may have a stranglehold on them, like we read about in Luke 8 and verse 14. It could be that their hearts are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, and that may be the problem, Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Or it could be like the church in Revelation, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. They simply don't care. They're apathetic, and that may be the reason. But if it's because we are embarrassed or ashamed, there's no good reason to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Even if it means having to suffer ridicule, rejection, or even persecution, the message we proclaim is the most important message in the world. It's more important than the cure for cancer. It's more important than the solution for world hunger, world peace. It is the message that saves souls for eternity. Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy in chapter 1 in verse 8, and he says, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." I want to thank you for being with me today. You know, if we were not ashamed of the gospel, if we shared the true message of God's word. Now, I'm not talking about denominations, what man teaches, but what the true word of God says, what the New Testament scriptures teach. If we would share that, if we would discuss that, overall, the world would be a better place. We would be better people. And we would have a better hope. I want to thank you for being with me this morning. If you'd like to talk about this lesson, you can look me up on Facebook. You can look up the Eastside Church of Christ on Facebook and leave a message at either place. You can go to our website, churchateastside.com. You can leave a message there. You can listen to this lesson again or any other lessons that we have on the website, as well as find the times of our services in case you'd like to join us. You can join us and discuss any of the messages that you've heard on this program or any of the message that is preached there at Eastside. Again, I want to thank you for being with me, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday morning.